prayer. Gracious Lord, we thank you and praise you that though we grow older every single day, you remain the same. You are always God. You are always powerful. You are always all-knowing. You are always with us. You are always in complete control. And you love us and are good to us and loving to us always. We give you all praise and glory. We ask that you bless our discussion today, that it may glorify you and draw us all closer to you and increase our understanding and knowledge of events in the Bible. We pray all this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right. It's been a few weeks since we met. We're talking about Abraham. God basically gave Abraham a message. We're not sure exactly how that all happened. Remember, we talked about it's kind of amazing that it just the Bible says God told Abraham to do this, and we're not told anything else about how it happened. But what was God's message to Abram? Anybody?
Leave your country.
Your people, your family, leave them all. Yep. And go where?
Egypt.
No.
Promised land.
We're going to talk about Egypt in a moment. Yeah, go to a land that I will show you.
Yeah, I don't know it yet.
Thanks, Lord, for those instructions.
Yeah, all right. I'll be on my way.
Good. Initially, he went halfway around the Fertile Crescent, settled in Haran, remember? Then God gave him another move on, and so he ended up in the Promised Land. So he's kind of roaming through the Promised Land. Lived in a tent, many tents probably. And they had a famine in the land. And so Abram decided to do what? Aubrey?
He decided to leave.
And go to Egypt. Yes. Headed down to Egypt. We said that was not necessarily wrong. God didn't tell him he couldn't leave the borders of the Canaan. He just, he was a shepherd. He had livestock. So they went down to Egypt where there was more browse and stuff available. Okay. Before they got into Egypt, though, Abram said what to Sarai?
That she had to pose as his sister.
Just tell everybody you're my sister because I don't want anybody killing me because you're a beautiful woman. Okay? Was that a good idea?
No.
Not a good idea. Well, it's a good idea to tell her she's a beautiful woman. Not a good idea.
Yeah.
Not a good idea to tell him that, say that she was his sister. Was that actually true?
Yes.
She was a half-sister to him. Yeah, kind of interesting. Okay, who takes notice of Sarai in Egypt?
Pharaoh.
The king of the land. And Sarai says, oh yeah, he's my brother. Wonderful, move into the palace.
I'm going to get out of that tent.
Some maintained that last time we talked that maybe it was a good thing that Sarah was glad to get in a palace. But what an awkward, difficult situation to be in. Because there's only one reason that the king, the Pharaoh, wants to move you into his palace, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Is that why he gave all the cattle and manservant, maidservants?
Sure. Yeah. Hey, I love your sister, brother-in-law. Here, have some good stuff. Yeah, let me bless you. Let me give you some stuff. Yeah. And so we were wrapping up, when we wrapped up class last week, or a couple weeks ago, question was, how do you suppose Sarai is feeling about all of this?
Good and bad, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure she welcomed the luxury, but...
Yeah, there's consequences.
Oh, yeah. Terrified.
You sold me out.
Yeah. This couldn't have been good for their relationship, could it?
No.
You wouldn't think so, right?
No.
Frustrated, angry with her husband?
That would be my experience.
How many times have you sold out your wife, man? disgusted at the circumstances she was in, right?
Right.
What about Abram? How's he feeling?
Probably the same.
I think so.
I think he probably felt awful, but he was fearing for his life trusting God.
He was fearing for his life, not trusting God. He's probably also terrified. This is his wife.
Guilty.
Feels guilty for sure. Yeah. Hopeless that he'd ever get her back.
Yeah.
Wondering what's all happening in the palace with his wife, right? My goodness.
You probably didn't have to wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Humanly speaking, what were the chances of Abram and Sarai being reunited? Zero, right?
Yeah, I'd say zero.
Zero. What were the potential ramifications of this turn of events? There's a significant promise God had given Abram.
No son
from his wife. The line to the Savior would be broken. Yeah, so this wasn't just an inconvenience for Abram and Sarai. This wasn't just awkward for them. This had great spiritual significance. That's where we left off last class. I'm on page 2. Sorry, I know I don't have numbers for the questions, but we're about 2/3 down the page. That's where I'm at. Basically, we're in Genesis 12. If you want to pull up that chapter in your Bibles or your phones. Since Abram had made such a mess of things, God intervened. How? Remember?
He inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household.
That's it. He inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household. We don't know what those were, but it was not good for Pharaoh. Is it safe to assume that Sarai remained her purity through this mess? I gave you a couple references there. What do you think?
Well, if they were sick enough, they couldn't.
That's it.
Do it.
That's absolutely, yeah. I absolutely think that is a fair assumption. That God protected her. I think she came into the palace and probably the issues started immediately, the health issues. And so that, you know, she's living there, but God is protecting her from that situation. No thanks to her husband, but God intervened. How did Pharaoh discover the truth? Genesis 12:18. The Genesis 20, there's a similar circumstance that happened again. Abram did the same thing. And so there's some similarities between the two, but they're not exactly the same. At any rate, how did Pharaoh discover the truth?
He called Abraham.
He did, but he called Abraham after he had found out what was going on. How did he find out? You'll look a long time before you find it, because it's not in there. It's not in there. We don't know how he found out. We don't know how Pharaoh found out. Down the road, there's another man named Abimelech that Abram gets the same circumstances. He didn't learn his lesson. Sarai is taken into Abimelech's house. Abimelech had a dream that told him what was going on. Did God do the same thing for Pharaoh? They had all kinds of mages, right? Wise men, you know. Did God use one of them to say, we don't know. We just don't know. We're not told. But Pharaoh figured out all this is happening because I have another man's wife in my harem. So.
I think maybe Sarah.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's an intriguing question, Tom. Maybe. I don't know. Possibly. That maybe Sarah said, I think this is all happening because I'm actually married to Abram.
Yeah.
Maybe. That's a very legitimate possibility.
Maybe his harem was just so big he hadn't got to her
yet. I don't know. I don't know. But somehow he found out that he and his household were all sick because he had another man's wife in his house. Fascinating.
Or maybe she talked to one of the other wives and they told him.
Hey. Could be. Could be. Could be. Somehow, Pharaoh found out. And he's not very happy about it, understandably. Based on Genesis 20, when this happens again, had Abram learned his lesson here?
No.
No. Profoundly, no. He did not. He did the exact same thing again later in his life. What was the final result of Abram's deception? Genesis 12, 19 and 20.
Sent Abram and everything away. He said, take your wife and go.
He was sent packing.
Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah. He was kicked out of Egypt. What is bitterly ironic about this conversation that happens in verses 19 and 20? These the words from Pharaoh. See any irony there? Why did you say, she is my sister, so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. And Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. What's the irony of that? Abram is getting scolded by an unbeliever.
Yeah.
Abram is being scolded by someone who does not believe in the true God. Abram knew the true God. He knew what was right. And he has an unbeliever reprimanding him for what he had done. That's ironic.
Well, even the unbeliever knew that was not a good thing.
Right! Absolutely knew that that was not a proper thing to do. What could have been the final result?
Could have been killed.
Yep. Pharaoh said, you had no right to do this. Look at all the problems you caused me and my family. So you forfeit your life. That he had. That's what the power, of course, that kings have.
That's what he was afraid of to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he was. Yeah, isn't that interesting? That's what he was afraid of. His actions could have led to that. What only, perhaps, kept Pharaoh from imposing this sentence?
Felt sorry for Sarah.
Maybe. I think there's a bigger factor.
Yeah. Hoping God would take his sickness away if he let him go.
Yes, I think that's a factor. Yeah. That he figured, if I do what is right here, do what God wants me to do, he'll take the sickness away. I think that's a big factor. And tied with that...
What else could happen?
Yeah! God's got this guy's back. I do not want to take his life because I don't know what would happen to me if I did. Mm-hmm. Probably wouldn't go well for me.
Yeah, look what he did to me already.
Yeah. I suspect the fear of the Lord, the fear being the terror of the Lord, is what kept him from it.
Even though he was an unbeliever, he's still afraid of God?
Yep.
Well, I think all unbelievers feel that way because... I just think in the end they think, oh, because they all go, oh my God, help me or something. When they get in trouble, they always still say that.
Sure, sure.
Because well, they're hoping there's...
And I would say, Arlene, based on everything he had gone through and the circumstances and the fact that if maybe, possibly God even spoke to him in a dream, that he knew this was real. And this was a God not to mess with. Remember in Egypt they had gods upon gods. They had all kinds of gods. Okay, so what's, you know, just another God. Obviously, this is just another God, but this is a powerful God, and I'm messing with somebody who he doesn't want me to mess with. So yeah, I think absolutely. Very, very interesting account. In fact, what additional precaution did Pharaoh take regarding Abram and Sarai, verse 20? Not only did he send him on his way, there's more.
Let him have everything.
Yeah, you let him keep everything you'd given him. Yep, that's true. There's another thing, though.
He paid a gratuity, basically, 1,000 shekels or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. It sounds like Abram and Sarai were escorted out of Egypt. Why might Pharaoh do that?
To make sure
they went. One. Yep. What else? Any other reasons you could think of?
So nothing would happen to him.
Yeah, so that they would be kept safe. Because who might be really upset with Abram right now? The whole land of Egypt. How dare you do this to our Pharaoh? Make a mockery of our Pharaoh. Or our land. I mean, it is not out of the realm of possibility that others would have been seeking to kill him. And even rob him of all this riches that Pharaoh had just given him, right? I mean, Abram was a wealthy man. So that was another reason, potentially, that Pharaoh escorted them out of Egypt to keep them safe. For pleasing God, for making sure nothing else happened to them, that there were no other ramifications to him. And also just to make sure they were good and gone. Because he wanted nothing more to do with Abram. Both unbelieving Pharaoh and later on Abimelech were essentially innocent of wrongdoing, except perhaps of lust and bigamy. Abram, on the other hand, was guilty of deception and lack of trust in God. Yet how did God award, quote, legal damages? What happened to Abram as a result of all this? He left Egypt richer.
Say a rich man, yeah.
Than he was when he came into it. He profited immensely and, we could say, unfairly. Through his deception, he profited. Now, why did he profit ultimately?
Because Pharaoh was scared.
Yes, Pharaoh was very scared, but who was behind Pharaoh's decisions?
God.
God was. God had said, I'm going to make you a very wealthy man, and he did. He used Pharaoh and the land of Egypt to prosper. Abram already had a lot. He had even more when he left Egypt. So, quick aside, have you ever experienced times in your life when you did something absolutely stupid, you know it was wrong to do, you did it? Well, I mean, well, raise your hand, right? We all done that, but let me finish. And God ended up blessing you afterwards, despite the stupidity that you, have you ever experienced that?
Oh, many times.
Why does God do that? Because he loves us. Because he loves us.
Unconditional love.
Yeah. God is amazing. He truly, truly is amazing God. And he puts up with us. He knows we are frail. He knows we are weak. He knows we are sinful. And he still continues to faithfully love us. Take care of us, bless us, over and over and over again. Now that is not an encouragement to just go do whatever you want and let God bless us afterwards. but rather it's an encouragement to just continue to rely and rejoice in the fact that we have a loving God despite our own stupidity sometimes. Gary?
One of our prayers indicates that we request that the Lord forgive us, though there is no merit or worthiness in us. And I think it appears that throughout the Bible, even in spots where, like this perhaps, that we don't expect to see it, he continually gives us lessons and illustrations as to the biggest picture of Christ's redemption, even though there's no merit or worthiness in us. So this example, sparing him, where the unbelievers did the righteous thing, the believer or the one who knew God did the unrighteous thing, and yet what in the court system, the courts are always trying to exact justice, and they're looking for, as you put, or the worksheet says, compensatory damages. What's just? What makes the victim return to a proper position or restored? We know what the proper judgment should have been for Abram, but the Lord flips that on its head and gives him mercy. Not what he deserved. And of course, that's exactly what Christ came to do for us. So,
I love the way you put that. That's excellently said, Gary. All these examples of being blessed despite sin really does point to the ultimate gift from God, Jesus Christ, and the redemption that he won for us. Because we don't deserve that either. We certainly don't deserve that. And he gives it to us anyways. Thank you. That's well said.